All right, so this is the, I believe, the 13th installment of Ambassadors Training Camp. And the idea of this series of lessons is to take a bird's eye view of the Bible and go through the Bible progressively and see what's going on in these books. To give us a better handle on how our Bible's put together, how it's progressed, because it's, you know, it's so easy for me to come up here and say, you know, Paul's your apostle, that's where you find your stuff. Okay, well, you believe me because you trust me. It's another thing for you to actually go through the Bible and see what's going on yourself and see the progression and learn it yourself. That makes you able to teach somebody else rather than, Steve says. Well, Steve's not there when you're talking to your friend, is he? So that's one of the reasons why we do this. And, you know, as you know, I'm a pilot, so I like how things look from above. That's my happy place when I'm up in the sky. So what we have kind of done in the past few lessons is we've kind of parked in one spot. We're in a bit of a holding pattern around this area of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the reason for that is it's probably the most misunderstood portion of our Bible in all of Christianity. So the maneuver we're doing in the plane now is called turns about a point. You know what that is, Mike? You pick a point on the ground, whether it be a water tower or a building or something, and you try to fly a perfect circle around it. And that's what we're doing. We're observing. It's hard because, you know, the wind's always blowing one direction. So when you're on this side of the circle, it's trying to blow you in. And when you're on that side of the circle, it's trying to blow you away. So it gets difficult. But anyways, enough aviation talk. Last time...
That's what the missionaries did down in Ecuador when they lowered a bucket of stuff to the Indians.
Oh, yeah. Is that the... That would make sense. That would be the way to do it.
The bucket stayed there and they just flew around.
Yep. That would be the way to do it. I've never tried to lower anything out of my aircraft. Like everything inside, just stay there, which is me. So the last time we left off, we've been progressively coming through, and we left with Christ telling his people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the worst time in the history of the world is about to happen. There's going to be this tribulation. It's never been as bad as it's going to be, and it'd never be anything like it. And we saw that they were going to have to run away and flee. And they were going to have, God was going to have to provide them daily bread and clothes and protect them. And we looked at, wow, that makes the quote-unquote Lord's Prayer look really different now when you pray, give us this day our daily bread. They were literally talking about getting fed daily from the Lord. And Psalm 23, how they have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, and that protection from God while they're going through there. But, oh, I almost forgot. Yes, YouTube people. I mean, people who watch on YouTube. Yes, we are still giving away free booklets. The green one, things I've been taught from the Bible that are not true. And the yellow one, Jesus wasn't talking to you. It's been something like 1,000 days straight we've given away these books, which is amazing. But I want to make an observation. What is the big thing that makes us different than any other church in town? If you could say, what's the one thing? One, we've got the gospel correctly, and we preach it clearly. But the other big thing, that was a rhetorical one, Mike. The other big thing is, we teach that the four Gospels are not your doctrine. We teach that Jesus wasn't talking to you in the four Gospels. We teach that Christ was a minister of the circumcision to fulfill the promises made to the fathers. They weren't our promises, they weren't our fathers, and we're not the circumcision. But I've been called every clean, mean name by good church-going Christian people over the years for teaching that, and even some of the unclean bad names by good go. Yeah, you'd be surprised what people say to you right before they say they're going to pray for you after they call you a dirty name. But they call me a heretic. They call me nuts. They call me foolish or wrong for teaching Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it struck me that many of these churches also teach that the church, the body of Christ, is not going to go through the tribulation. Where was Christ teaching people that they were going to go through the tribulation? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We just saw it last time. So they'll, you know, I'll stand here and say, Jesus wasn't talking to you. And they'll say, heretic! And then they'll go over to their church person. Pastor, I was reading Matthew 24, Matthew 25, and it looks like we're going to have to go through the tribulation. And he goes, no, Jesus wasn't talking to you there. Heretic! No, Jesus wasn't talking to you there. What? Interesting, interesting, curious. So apparently you're allowed to say J. Witte for a chapter or two, but you're not allowed to say J. Witte for the whole book. Interesting. I just point that out for note. But as we move along in our Bibles this week, let's go to Matthew 10. We've had the man sent from God, John the Baptist. He announced, he made the way for Christ. And now we have God the Son showing up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 10, Jesus is going to pick 12 disciples who will become the 12 apostles who will sit on thrones in Israel's kingdom judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, 11 of them anyway. One didn't make the cut. But in Matthew 10, verse 1, he says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Whoa. I could have used that walking in the door today. I mean, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is supposed to be our doctrine, why can't we find any deacon boards anywhere that can do this? I would have healed a bunch of people in here walking in today if that was our doctrine. Here's what I know, though. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is our doctrine, every single one of us should have this same power. Mm-hmm. To heal, it says, what manner of sickness? All. What manner of disease? All. Well, look over at Mark, at the end of Mark. This is the Great Commission nobody ever talks about. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall maybe follow some charismatics that believe. No, that's not what it says. These signs shall follow them that believe. Everybody in here believes, don't you? Why don't we have superpowers? That's not what my preacher told me. He said I was a heretic for saying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not your doctrine. Oh, okay. We'll try that. It never worked when I was there, but I'll try that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. And they, not maybe, not sometimes, not one in 200 times, it says they shall recover. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is our doctrine, we should all be able to do this. One other proof, in my humble opinion, Jesus wasn't talking to you in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Another reason I believe that is because he said so. We'll see that here in a little bit. But back to Matthew 10. Can you imagine? I try to put myself in other people's shoes. How about your old Thaddeus there? You wake up one morning, you're just a normal Jewish guy looking for your Messiah. You think you found him. You think you found the right guy. Put your sandals on the same way. Eat your breakfast. And by lunch, you can heal any sickness on the planet. This is an interesting day. When I woke up, I couldn't get rid of my stuffy nose. Now I can cure cancer. How? I don't know. I just can. He said he was giving me power, and I found a lame guy and fixed his leg. I don't know how. I just did it. Oh, what an amazing time. Think about it. These are the guys that they've had the law. They've had the prophets. They've got Daniel. They know to be looking for the guy. And we think we found him, this Jesus of Nazareth. Well, now I can cure any disease and throw out devils out of people. This is the guy. This is the time for the stuff, the kingdom. It had to be exciting for them. But you'd think the kingdom is now. Well, Jesus says here in Matthew 10, what he's going to send them out to preach, and what are they going to preach? Matthew 10, look at verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any of the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ding. So we do product placement every time we read a verse like that? Ding. Jesus wasn't talking to you. And as ye go, preach, saying, we've been looking forward to the cross for 4,000 years. It's about to happen. Billy Graham said so. Well, that's not what it says here. What are they supposed to preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. So what is their gospel message? Their gospel message is, hey, Israel, only Israel. I'm only talking to Israel because the Messiah told me to. The eternal kingdom that was promised to David by the prophet Nathan from God is at hand. You don't believe me? Here's my supernatural power to prove the message from God is valid. That was the gospel. The good news is that is at hand. Is that the gospel that saves your soul? What about this? You're still in Matthew. Turn forward to Matthew 19. Matthew chapter 19, all the way down at the bottom, verse 27. This is after Christ has the interaction with the rich man, and he tells him to sell all of his stuff and come follow him if he wants to get eternal life. That's not your gospel, is it? You all drove here in cars you own. It better not be our gospel. But look in verse 9, and Peter hears this conversation, and in verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? I love Peter. You're standing there listening to the conversation. Yeah, I did that. I did that. I've already done that. Hey, what's in it for me? I've done all that. Verily, what's Jesus' answer? Verily, I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That doesn't sound like heaven, does it? That doesn't sound like the body of Christ, where there is no such thing as Jew or Greek, does it? And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sister, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. So, The end goal of Christ preaching here, as we're doing turns about a point around Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what's the end goal? What do I get if I'm successful with this preaching message? You get to be rich in a kingdom on the earth that's run by Christ and the Jewish nation and the 12 apostles. Nobody is talking about dying and going to heaven. Nobody's talking about sitting on a cloud playing a harp to Amazing Grace for 10,000 years. It's the fulfillment of everything we've seen in our Bible going forward. And guess what else? No one's preaching a cross. They had zero knowledge that Jesus was even going to die, much less that he was going to die on a cross. How is it that we spent decades of our lives in church and never saw that in our Bibles? I think we're all of relatively average intellect in here. We're not dummies. How did we miss it? How can you preach about something if you don't know anything about it? I can tell you from my vantage point, it's pretty hard. If you don't know something, you're not going to be preaching about it. We're still in Matthew. Look over at Matthew chapter 16. So Matthew 10, he sends them out preaching. That gospel message, kingdom at hand, kingdom at hand, superpowers. Matthew 16, Peter has a good day, which immediately turns bad. Matthew 16 and verse 15. Christ is asking his disciples, who are people saying that I am? And they're answering him, and he says, whom say ye that I am, you 12 that are with me? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he gets praise for that. Ding, 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 you're right. Look at verse 21. From that time forth began. Do you know what began means in the original Greek? It means began. It means he's just started it there. He hadn't said anything before. That was the first day he said anything. That's what began means. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and said, Hallelujah, the first Easter. No. He began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And then Peter gets told, Get thee behind me, Satan, or his good day immediately turns bad. They didn't know anything about the cross. In Luke, it says, and you don't have to turn to it for time, but in Luke 18:33, Christ is telling him the same information. He says, And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Verse 34, And they understood N-O-N-E, none of these things. He tells them about the cross. They don't have a clue. They understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them. Neither knew they the things which were spoken. I know we're just flying around here, but can I point out this is why I am dispensational? It's not that I said, wow, that's a long word. I think I'll do that. Dispensational. I like long. No. It's about getting the gospel right. You can't even have clarity on what the gospel is unless you're dispensational. Because what they're preaching here ain't what Paul preached. We'll see that in a minute. They're not saying, they don't even know what's going to happen. He tells them about it. No way, I don't want that. What's he talking about? It's a different gospel. I read to you Luke. Look over, please, at 1 Corinthians 1:23. 1 Corinthians 1:23. Let me know when you get there. I'm going to read Luke to you while you're there in 1 Corinthians. And I want you to listen to me read Luke, and then you read 1 Corinthians 1:23. In Luke, he says, "And on the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which are spoken." What things? The cross, the death, burial, and resurrection. Now, what does Paul say? "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Paul's preaching message is the thing the disciples were clueless about. And when they were told about it, they didn't understand it. The saying was hid from them. That's a big deal in our Bible. And I didn't know about it until I was 20-something years old. You don't get any more basic than what is the gospel. And here I've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're preaching a kingdom and have no clue of the cross. I have Paul preaching the cross only. And I never noticed that until somebody rubbed my dirty little nose in the verses, which is why I repeat the process again today and rub your dirty little noses in the verses and everybody who watches on YouTube. But these are simple, easy Bible verses we're reading. And it says very simply, very plainly, it would have been impossible for the 12 disciples to even teach anything about the cross before Matthew 16, because they didn't know anything about it. And then even after that, we read from Luke there, they didn't even understand it. The saying was hid from them. They were clueless. So they couldn't be preaching it after either. It seems pretty easy when you just read the easy Bible verses. But I go teach this lesson at my old denominational church. I'm getting escorted out before I'm done as a heretic for reading Bible verses and believing them. Interesting. Why? I think Michael said it best. It seems the mystery is still a mystery to them. That's what it is. The revelation of the mystery is what unlocks everything in your Bible. Anyway, so I better move on here. So here we are. We've got the disciples. I'm not going to draw 12 stick figures here, but let's just put the 12. They've got this gospel message. They've got the Word made flesh, the Creator dwelling among His people Israel. He's ministering, He's preaching, He's healing, He's feeding them miraculously. The literal Messiah that they've been looking for all along, He's there. The Holy One and the Just, the Prince of Life is there, the King. And what happened? You know of all the, you know the Pharisees, the religious leaders were opposed to Jesus. They were constantly trying to get rid of him and kill him, the Pharisees and the scribes. But, oh, I have a pass out this morning. This is a pass out done by, well, this guy's been dead for over 100 years. But what he did was he charted out an outline of each of the four gospel books and what's in them. And it starts with the proclamation of the kingdom. They proclaim the kingdom, and then they present the king in certain verses. And then you see the rejection of the kingdom, and finally the rejection of the king, leading to Golgotha. So that is all charted out by a dead guy for us. So I pass those out to you if you want that. You can look at those in your Bible. But I want to note something. After Christ's arrest, so we have the King, the Prince of Life. We have all the miracles. We have all the ministry. We have all the message. We have Lazarus getting raised from the dead. All this. And what do we see right before the cross? Look, please, over at John chapter 19. John chapter 19 and verse 12. John chapter 19 and verse 12. And again, I'm trying to put us in their shoes, put us in this context in our Bible. We've been building up with Israel, with the promises all the way back to Abraham. We've got the law given to Moses. We've got Daniel the prophet now has prophesied the time frame that this time is at hand. We have all the prophets that came after talking about this kingdom and the law will come out of Zion when the kingdom is come. And now we have the king and he's got all the bona fides of what the king should be. And look what we get to in John chapter 19, verse 12. From thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, behold your king! But what did they say to the Prince of Life, the Holy One and the Just? Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, fed them, healed them, preached to them, and they said, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, the chief priests who were supposed to stand between Almighty God and Israel, serving in the priest's office, ministering God to Israel under the law, what do these religious chief priests say next? We have no king but Caesar. Whoa. That shows you the wickedness of those men and how they failed to conduct themselves in their office properly. So what happens next? What happens next is they get their wish. Christ is crucified. What happens right after that is the reason we are Christian and why we are here today talking about it. The man who was dead literally, physically came back from the dead, took his own life back up, walked out of that tomb with victory over death, hell, and the grave. And Paul says, if you don't believe that, your life is a waste. Your ministry is a waste if it's not literal physical resurrection. So what happens after this, and now we're getting to the end of the Gospels, and we're going into this period of the early book of Acts. I like to call Acts Luke 2. Luke wrote both of them. It was his second letter. But what happens is Christ comes back to life. He appears. But he doesn't go away immediately. He spends 40 days teaching his disciples. And the first thing he taught them was, what was this cross all about? Because we thought we were going into the kingdom, and you can read about it when they're having conversations with him and they don't know who he is. We thought we were going to be in the kingdom, but he's dead. He's been dead for 3 days, so now we don't know what to do. Well, Christ explains the cross to them after the fact. Look over at Luke 24. Luke 24, 44. Luke 24, 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. Do you know what that means in the original Greek? That means they didn't have understanding before that moment. And so Christ opened it up and explained it to them. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Oh, that's why you had to die. we need the better blood for the better testament. We need Christ's blood for Israel's new covenant. We can't have a new covenant without that death, burial, and resurrection. Oh, now I understand. Now, what did he do next? Did he explain to them, look, guys, now that the cross is done, we're going to have something called the church age. All right? And we're going to have hundreds of great denominations, and it's going to mostly be Gentiles. Denominations sometimes will fight amongst each other, but it'll be great. It'll be called the church age. That's what's coming next. No. Is that what Christ explained to them? Well, that's what my preacher said happened. Oh. Maybe that was the second time he was wrong. What does he teach them? We can see if we look at the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. Or Luke 2, chapter 1. So now we're right about in this area after the cross, after the resurrection. We've got 40 days, and Christ is teaching them, and Luke recounts what happens here, and he's writing to a guy named Theophilus. Theo. Hey, Theo. The former treatise have I made, O Theo, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and teaching them about the coming body of Christ, Jew and Gentile, church age. That's not what yours says. Speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, they've been preaching this message the whole time. Cross happens. Whoa, what was that about? Peter's cutting guys' ears off and cussing by the fire. What's going on? He comes back alive. He teaches them, this is why I had to die. Oh, and then I'm going to spend 40 days not teaching about dying and going to heaven, teaching about the same thing we've been talking about now for years, with the understanding now of the cross. Nothing's changed. It's still the same buildup that we've been going through all these weeks to, for, and about Israel and their kingdom. Prophecy. And being assembled with them in verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And what is their question? Is it anything about a church age with Gentiles? When they were therefore were to come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, is it time now? We did all the miracles. We preached the message. The cross happened. Whoa, but okay, we get it now. Is it time? Is it time for that? Wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he says, go to Jerusalem and receive power. It's not for you to know the times or the season. Nothing about us yet. So at this point, the Holy Ghost comes down and they continue preaching the same gospel message with one addition. What do they add to their gospel message about the kingdom? They add, Christ is the Messiah. Israel wickedly killed him. He resurrected. He came back to life. So God, remember what Christ prayed on the cross? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. So Israel now has rejected John, the man sent from God. They've rejected God the Son. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Now they have a third chance with the Holy Ghost sent down from God to receive the message from Him. anybody know what happened?
It's Wayne, isn't it?
The Holy Ghost comes down. You've heard of the Feast of Pentecost? That's when the Holy Ghost comes down. And what Pentecost is it's one of the 3 days on the Jewish calendar where all the Jews, no matter where you're at, have to go back to Jerusalem for the feast. So if this is Jerusalem, you're sucking people from all around the world to this one central place for this feast. Bam! Holy Ghost comes down. The word about the Lord Jesus Christ comes from the 12 apostles to all these people that have come to this spot. That's good planning, because all of these people are going to spread out after the feast and tell the tale everywhere. The message is going to get out. So it's a perfect time for this to happen right before these pilgrims leave and go back to their homes. But in Acts chapter 2, here it is. Acts chapter 2 is the first time Peter talks about the cross in his message, in his preaching. The first time. Didn't do it any time in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Here we are in Acts 2. Holy Ghost comes through him. Now he's going to say something about the cross. Is he going to preach the cross as good news? That's our good news, isn't it? We preach Christ crucified. That's our good news. Let's see how Peter preaches it. Verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day." Look at what he says next. It is startling. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Whoa, baby. What did he just say here? He said, "Tick tock, tick tock. We're here." Because I read Joel in preparation for the lesson. This is what Joel talks about. He says, oh, and that's what Christ was talking about back in Matthew 24, 25. He's saying, we're here. The beginning of the last days of Israel, the worst time in the history of the planet. You are here. You ever stop into a rest stop on the highway? And they got the map on the wall and the pin that says, you are here. And you look at it like, oh, I got 200 more miles in this terrible state. Peter's saying, you are here. You just crossed the line. It's starting. He says it's the last days. It shall come. You know how I know that? Verse 17. It shall come to pass in the what days? Last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And then he goes on to describe the end of the world, right before the kingdom. Whoa! All the prophecies, all the timelines. Peter's saying, we're here at the end. 7 more years, and it's kingdom time. He preaches the cross. I mentioned that. Let's see how he preaches it. Now, that's the words on the page or the words on my iPad here of the Bible. They're very easy to read, very easy to understand. And if I go into any church in town and tell them Acts 2, Peter's preaching about the last days of Israel, and it's not the birthday of the church, it's not going to go well for me. Why? I read them to you. You read them. You understand them. Why doesn't the church that names the name of Christ believe Christ's Bible? Good question, I suppose. But Peter preaches the cross. Let's see how he preaches it. Let's see if he's coloring Easter eggs here. Drop down to verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Remember all the miracles? Remember all the feeding? Remember all the healing? Yeah. That same Jesus. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Doesn't sound like happy, happy, joy, joy, does it? He's preaching the cross as a murder indictment. He's preaching the cross as bad news, not good news. And then he tells them, God undid what you wicked people have done, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. So Peter preaches the cross as bad news. What's the good news? He gives some good news to the folks who are listening. When they find out this same Jesus that they were the one in the crowd last month or 2 months ago screaming, crucify him, crucify him. They find out, yeah, he's sitting in the right hand of God the Father. He's the Lord. He's Christ. Uh-oh. I was in the crowd yelling, crucify him. Gulp. What do I do? So Peter's message, this is the last days of Israel. You wicked people have killed the Christ. What do we do? Verse 36, you see it? Therefore let all the house of... Who? Who's he talking to then? In your judgment. Yeah, Israel. Shocking. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom all y'all, that's what the ye means, ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. When they heard what? When they heard the bad news of the cross. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Is there any out to this? I've killed the Messiah or been complicit in it. What do we do? And what's Peter's message to them? The same message that they've been preaching since the beginning of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the kingdom gospel. Nothing changed. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that'll be a good stopping point for this week. But what have we now done? We've now gone through all the way through the Bible, from the beginning to the fall, to the separation of this nation Israel, their promises, their law, their prophets. We've come through now Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is supposedly the most important part of our Bible and was supposedly written to and about us. And now we're all the way into the book of Acts now, which is supposed to be the birthday of the church, and we found nothing about us, the church, the body of Christ. Isn't that remarkable? When we just read the verses and believe them, it shows you how necessary and important it is to rightly divide your Bible and to understand. Because you're back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? And you think your gospel is repent and get wet? And nobody ever talks about the cross because all they do is get people to repent and get wet? You've missed the gospel. Now you think you're saved. That the preacher and waiters, when he took you up out of the water, he said, I pronounce you saved. You've never heard the gospel that saves your soul. And now you think you're saved and a righteous church member. And you've never heard the gospel. That's why I tell you, the church of your terrible choice is the most dangerous place in the world you could ever take your soul. Because you can be there talking about Jesus, learning from the Bible, and never be shown the gospel that saves your soul. So what we'll pick up with next time, we'll finish our turns about a point and start heading back up the road in our aircraft, and we'll see here what happens when Israel has their last chance, and then what happens next as we move along in flying through the Bible with Steve. So that will be enough for this week.